today.
Yes,
Lord. We welcome you inside of us.
Yes.
We open up our hearts to hear from you, Father.
Yes,
speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin a new teaching on the interceding Christian. Say, interceding Christian.
Interceding.
And we're going to talk about this area of intercession. Many of you know that. Some of you know it maybe by name, don't know much about it. But we want to make it more plain because it's critical to how we should do life. As a Christian, that we should be people that intercede. You may understand, may wonder, ask the question, what does that mean to be an interceding Christian or to intercede? Well, basically, the prayer of intercession is simply a prayer for others, taking the place of others or pleading their case. And so there's times you need to pray for someone else, not just only yourself. And the natural tendency to take care of us. If we have a spouse, maybe pray for our spouse. If we have children, pray for our children. Pray for our personal affairs, and that's appropriate. Jesus wants us to get our needs met. But we're going to see that the interceding Christian prays for others. Say, prays for others. And there's a good reason why that's needed. One, there's two ways to intercede, basically. One is that you pray out of your mind. In other words, based on what you know. They have a need for a place to stay. Lord, give them a place to stay. Are you following me? And you may pray. Or you may do something as a result of your prayer. But then you pray in the Spirit or pray in other tongues and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you about things that you need to, that needs to be done, but you don't always know the details. So you trust the Holy Spirit to pray on your behalf. That's intercession as well. But we live in a life that we don't know everything, y'all.
Amen.
And we can't do it all by ourselves.
That's right.
Can you imagine a loved one who's seriously in the hospital and they can't talk? They need somebody to intercede for them right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe they're under a lot of stress. And yes, they should be able to have it together, but they don't have it together right now. And they need someone to intercede on their behalf. Especially those who end up in a hospital. A person's in a coma, they can't intercede for themselves. Are you following me? This is why when you have a person or a loved one in a hospital that you want to keep it peaceful, you want to keep it encouraging, because a person, for example, a particular person that's in a coma, you think they're kind of out of it, but no, they can hear.
Yes.
They can hear very clearly.
Yes.
It's just that they're not able to communicate to the body. So the body is very limited.
Yes.
But the spirit man is still alive, so they're able to pick up and still hear as long as they're physically alive. But they need someone to pray on their behalf because they can't pray on their behalf right now. Mm-hmm. Are you following me?
Yes.
And so we're going to talk about this because it gives more of a clear purpose for us to pray. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, say first of all.
First of all.
We'll come back to that in a moment why that's important. Supplications, which means specific prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice all men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even the ones you may not like too much.
That's right.
And then it says in verse 2, for kings. Now, we don't have a king. We have a president.
Yeah.
We have a Congress. We have senators and legislators and governors and judges and all men and for all that are in authority. That covers a lot of people.
Yes.
That covers your principal or your provost or your college president or your teacher
mm-hmm.
in school.
Mm-hmm.
It covers your pastor and other spiritual leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It covers your governor.
Mm-hmm.
It covers your mayor. Anyone in authority over you.
Yes.
And so you need to pray for them. In particular, those who are in government offices. That's the focus I want to put on. We're not negating the all piece, but I want to focus a bit about the kings and those in authority of government. We should pray for those people.
Amen.
You know, for years as a Christian, I didn't quite get it until I began to read more clearly and got a little teaching on it, and I began to say, okay, I need to pray for the president, whether I voted for him or not.
Amen.
Because God said pray for him. And I'm going to give you a reason why. In fact, it's going to be shared in the scriptures why we should pray for our king. And not just the king, but all those below him or her, even other government officials, even the military. When I pray in the morning, I always start off with in tongues, and I'll start praying in English, and I always say, Father, thank you. I pray for apostles. I pray for kings and queens and presidents and all men in authority. Then I pray for the various ministry gifts, and then I'll specifically mention the president by name, his vice president. And I've mentioned the Supreme Court justices, their spouses, close advisors, and their law clerks. I had a law clerks about 5, 6, 7 years ago, because I heard watching a documentary, I found out that many judges, especially the Supreme Court justice, really live a lonely life. You know, can't be out with a lot of people a lot. So what happens is that their law clerks influence. They'll ask, you know what? What do you think about this? I said, you're talking to him? He's an intern. But they're influencing him. So I'm praying for them too. Amen. Are you following me? Amen. What do you think about this? And then I pray for the Congress and senators, and then I pray for the military personnel and the leaders in the military. I mention all the branches by name. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I pray for my staff and leaders of our church by name.
Amen.
And their spouses. Mm-hmm. And their children. Mm-hmm. Because it's how we should pray. Pray on behalf of someone else. Because what it comes down to, if we have to learn to not really be selfish. And if you didn't know you should pray for other people, then I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Maybe you didn't realize you were selfish in that area because you didn't know. But God would have us to pray for other people.
Amen.
And part of it is the principle of the law of sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
He could say, you know, you would think the natural man, make it easy. Everybody pray for themselves. No, because some people can't pray for themselves. But when you pray for somebody else, guess what? God touches people's heart to pray for you.
That's right. Amen.
Everywhere I go, especially in L.A., because I live out toward this area, when I travel to L.A. and see people and so forth that I haven't seen in a while, or they know me, they're running to me and they'll say, I pray for you. I pray for you.
Yeah.
I always feel so blessed by it.
Yeah.
But I believe one reason God prompts people to pray for me, because I'm always praying for other people.
Amen.
It's good to have a lot of folk praying for you.
Amen.
One, you get the effect of it, the blessing of it. But also, it makes you feel good. You feel a sense of confidence and protection.
Yes.
It's not good to be alone. In fact, God said it's not good for a man to be alone.
Amen.
Or woman to be alone.
Amen.
Sometimes you feel alone, but when somebody's praying for you, a bunch of folk praying for you, you know your back's covered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And this is in real life. Even your job. I recall there was a company I worked for, a major company in Orange County, and I would pray for the president of the company, the vice president of the company, my boss, my boss's boss. And, I'll just pray for them, pray for their welfare and make wise decisions.
Yes.
Because their decisions impact you.
That's right.
You may not realize it, but the legislators, for example, in the government area, they make laws and they enforce laws. The judges enforce laws and have opinion about things, and that sets the tone for culture.
Mm-hmm.
Laws create culture. This is why God gives us his word, and he said his law. It creates the culture for the kingdom.
Yes.
In other words, how we do life naturally.
Amen.
Many years ago, in this country, they had laws where, for example, black people could not vote.
Mm-hmm.
That created a culture in this country
mm-hmm.
to legally discriminate. Are you following me?
Yes.
When they changed the law, over time, the culture changed regarding that area. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't think that those people that are serving in the areas don't impact you because you don't know them. They're far away. God is saying, pray for them.
Yeah.
These kings, these leaders. After first service, one of our teenagers came to me and said, Pastor, I shared the same thing in the first service. He said, it really helped me, Pastor, because I'm going to tell my friends they're probably upset like most young people. They're upset and mad at the system.
Yeah.
You know, be a part of the solution.
Amen.
First of all, pray, but if God speaks to you, get involved. In fact, I was talking to one father last Sunday. He said his son just graduated from college and he plans to get involved and major and get his master's degree in political science and go into politics. I said, great, I want to talk with him.
Amen.
Because what I want to do is start encouraging people like yourself and others who have a heart and a desire to serve in government.
Yes.
God is not against it. In fact, if you read the Bible very carefully, in Genesis, it says that Joseph, he wasn't a preacher, Joseph was governor of Egypt. Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer to the king, if you would, he became governor of Jerusalem. So God will use you. A week or so ago, I was in Washington, D.C., and we were meeting with various people both sides of the aisle. I told you I work both sides of the aisle. No matter whether my person I voted for got in or not, I'm always going to be in.
Amen. Right.
And so we're meeting, in fact, at the basement of the Congress. The basement of the Congress. I didn't know they had a basement. And a beautiful room called the Jefferson Room, where President Jefferson, in fact, started weekly Sunday services. People forget about the godly foundation of this country. And they stopped it 74 years ago. No, somebody stopped it. But 3 years ago, they brought it back. Amen. Christians brought it back. That's where I was with believers and 170 pastors that were from California alone, just from California. And they kept bringing in senators and people coming in and Congress people talking to us. And one began to preach to us. It was powerful. He said, I was a youth pastor at a church, doing very, really well. Church is doing well, running youth camps and so forth. And God spoke to me by running for office. And he's very strong and he's a strong Christian. And he challenged me, pastor. He said, you all need to do more because you are the gatekeepers for our people. You speak to them on a regular basis and you need to help lead the charge. In other words, we want to ensure that we have legislators and political leaders that represent God well. And we found out, I kind of knew some of it already, but I found out even more detail that in California, a lot of stuff is going on, y'all. It's not godly. There's a proposed law coming out. They're trying to get passed that will allow children, and I forget the exact age, probably around 6 or 7, to basically declare themselves independent. And so it's crazy. It's crazy. And so the parent can't have no authority in life. Who has the authority? The state. If we don't have somebody checking that, no, we don't want to do that. These are parents' children. Mm-hmm. Let them get of age and they can do what they want to do, right?
Yeah.
But not at 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Right.
That's the spirit going on in this country. Yeah. And guess what? We're going to show you in a moment that it comes down to us not having the kind of peace that we have. Notice what it reads here. Look at verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a what? Quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's not a lot of peace in America. Not a lot of quietness. People upset. I understand. What's the reason why? We're not praying. The church is not praying for our leaders like we should.
Amen. Amen.
And even those who may not be Christian, God can deal with their hearts.
Yeah.
God. Amen. We need to be interceding. You know, it can make the whole country Christian. But those who are not, they should have more openness to how God will deal with things. The biblical pattern is clear. King Nebuchadnezzar, he passed a law to go against the people of God. But then two administrations later, don't give up because things may not be going well for you right now. Two administrations later, King Darius said, Daniel's God is the God we're going to serve. And he put it in law because King Nebuchadnezzar, he got crazy, so he died crazy. By the way, God raises up people and he puts down people. He gives everybody an opportunity to represent well. God is God of justice. You know, we talk about it a lot now in our country, in the demonstration and so forth, but it's a biblical term. It's a biblical term.
Amen.
Justice all throughout the Bible. So we need to be able to influence through our prayers.
Yeah.
Pray. Don't say, well, he's a bad person. Do something. No. You're going to pray no ill will on nobody. You're going to pray that he's open to the purpose of God.
Amen.
Or her heart is open to God's plan for her life.
Amen.
In fact, I won't mention a person's name because I'm on television. This is being streamed live. But I'm in a congressperson's office. I'll leave it at that. Me and a few other people. And we're meeting with this person. And then at the end, one of our people we're meeting with offered to minister to them and pray for them. But they don't want to be prayed for. So that violates our ethics. I said, okay. Then the person said, can I read a scripture to you? I said, yeah. It was powerful. It was in, I think, Psalms 46. And it began to minister to that person personally. They began to break down. It was powerful in the halls of Congress. See, you want to be, in fact, we went in there because we work both sides of the aisle. So we went in there and said, you know what? We know we may have some differences. It doesn't matter if we have differences. We talked talking about how can we serve you? Mm-hmm. How can we work together? Yeah. Find some common areas we can work together. You follow me?
Yeah.
That's how you need to pray, y'all.
Amen.
I mean, that's why some folks don't stay married long. They think they got to be real nice all the time and you agree on everything. It's not realistic. Come on. You got to learn to work out things. Say work out things. And like right now, you know, and even with President Obama was in office, you had the stalemate. Somebody gets in, they don't want to talk to him now. Now President Trump in, we don't want to talk to him. And we, the country, don't get blessed.
Amen.
We got to pray. Say pray.
Pray.
I'll make it real for you. It's not a political message per se, but it's about, but God brings it up.
Amen.
Say pray for kings.
Pray for kings.
In our case, the president, his administration, I mentioned his vice president, their spouses, all those that influenced them, believe me, folk influenced them. In fact, that's what we were doing. We're influencing our legislators and our congressperson. It's amazing. Every day, the whole day, is people coming in and out, influencing our legislators.
Yes.
It was some years ago, we had an issue on the ballot about maybe 20 years ago. Maybe not quite. Well, yeah, about 20 years ago. And a lot of churches came together and went to Sacramento to address our concern. And the Speaker of the House was there, and one of our representatives, I didn't get a chance to go, so one of our representatives went and talked to the Speaker of the House, met with him. And he had attitude. He said, you know what, you Christians, you all don't give us no money, and you don't vote. We're not listening to you. Don't sound nice, right? But guess what? We don't give them no money, and we don't vote. But guess who gives them money? And guess who votes for? They're the ones they respond to. If you pray that they listen to the voice of God, whether they recognize God or not, we will live a quiet and peaceable life. This is where the church, not this church in America, throughout the world needs to get back to. Praying for our leaders. Say praying for our leaders. And then it says further, it's not about, I'm happy now, I got peace. No, that's the good part. Look, the bottom line is verse 4, who will have all men to be what? Saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That bottom line. Because if we have our hands tied as Christians, we're not able to share our faith. It's illegal to have a public worship service like this. That could happen. People don't like Christians. You know, you call this Christian nation, but it's eroding over time. And there's a lot of hatred against Christians. In fact, there are people, they tend to support people that are not Christians more so than Christians. And believe me, we kind of messed up a little bit. We're kind of hating people and all that and killing people, the doctors who cause abortions and stuff. That's not God. And so it's important that we don't. We walk in love. Say walk in love.
Walk in love.
We don't have to be hard on people.
Amen.
But we got to be part of the solution.
That's right.
Say part of the solution.
Part of the solution.
And it begins with our prayer life.
Amen.
You got to see it. In fact, let me just show you. Okay. Go to Daniel chapter 10. So you understand the deepness of it. You see, there's a world around us we can't see with our natural eyes. That's more real than our physical world. You medical people might know better than me. Was it about 70, 80 years ago? Maybe 100 years ago, maybe not quite that long. When they, with the development of the microscope and figuring out the bacteria, be able to see it through microscope. It wasn't that long ago. So you had doctors working, say, with a person that had a disease and don't wash his hands, walk over here and help a lady who's getting pregnant, about to have a baby, and she gets the disease. The baby gets the disease. He didn't know he was carrying disease. He couldn't see it. But development of medicine allowed to realize, oh, you got to wash your hands. There's some stuff in there. You're carrying a disease to people. There's a world that we cannot see. It's called a spiritual world. And yes, there's real life angels, real life God, but there's also real life devil and real life demons. And we're going to show you in scripture that demons are assigned to leaders of government. This is one reason why God says pray for them. First. Say first.
First.
He didn't say second. He didn't say take care of my needs and then I get around to it. First. Because how the nation goes, our peace goes or doesn't go. You look at some of the countries over the years that have gone into different dictators and so forth because they weren't checked. And see, when you pray, God has sent people. It's not just a prayer and kind of, God does it kind of magically. He does things in the earth. Yeah. God cannot do what he wants to do until we pray.
Amen.
We have a part to play.
That's
and
right.
It's called an interceding Christian.
Amen.
Here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, it says, now, in the context is Jesus is talking to Daniel. This portion of scripture is where we get our idea of the Daniel fast. Well, we fast and we eat food, but it's a healthy diet. And Daniel was doing that, a healthy food, not eating meat and so forth, seeking God for understanding the vision that God gave him. He was kind of confused, wasn't sure. He wanted clarity. So Jesus is in fact speaking to him. You may say, well, he wasn't born yet. He was alive then. He came in the beginning. He created everything.
Amen.
The Bible says in St. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And then over there, and the Word was God. And then it says in 14 verses, that's the first chapter, and God, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the Son of God. Jesus was there in the beginning. So he's there talking to Daniel. Check this out. Verse 12. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come for in response to them. In other words, God heard your prayer the first time. You wonder why some things you pray for is taking a long time for it to happen. It's battle. Say battle.
It's a battle.
It's not battling with flesh and blood. We read that about that in Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle. We don't fight against people.
Amen.
It's against wicked spirits. Mm-hmm. It's not to be paranoid and all that. No, they're real. Just deal with it.
Amen.
If you can't deal with it, you don't know to deal with it, you get beat up. You just say, well, I hope it stops. Kind of like Flip Wilson. Stop, devil. You know what? You better tell him, stop in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So Jesus is talking to Daniel. Verse 13, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. What do you mean, prince? He's not talking about a man, he's talking about a demon. There are demons assigned to nations and cities. There's a demon assigned, probably more than one, to the White House.
Amen.
Because of our world influence.
Yeah.
And we don't need to pray for the president. Yes, we do.
You
wonder why, you know, most presidents get in there, they, you know, they're talking all the good talk and all that, and all of a sudden they kind of change on you. What happened? Mm-hmm. Or they have all these good ideas, they can't get it done. Why? Mm-hmm. It's not straightforward as you think. They're dealing with stuff. In fact, before President Obama left office, he made a comment about, he says, you know, talking about President Trump coming in, he made a comment, very powerful insight. He said that, you know, this office has a way of changing you. Okay. You come in with all these ideas and you realize what you got to deal with and what it takes to get stuff done.
Yeah.
You have all these nice ideas. That's wonderful. I'm saying I don't have good ideas, but you know, if people don't realize the environment, good, in fact, oh God, at this conference I was at, they said, so many good people. And when they get up here, they go bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We had one guy, we help. When I say we, our church, we campaign and so forth. We first started the church in Cerritos. And I think he ran for public office in federal government level. And, you know, good Christian guy. You know, we had to help him out and so forth. Kids passing out flyers. Then I happened to visit the government. And he's a freshman, you know, congressperson. And He wouldn't even talk to us. He wouldn't even talk to us. I'm thinking, what's up with this? We helped get you in. Now you done go on the other side. He wasn't there 6 months. He's already corrupted. He went to jail too. Now, I shared that not to put him down. I know him today. Good man. He got back with the Lord and got his thing together. But if you don't have the covering, your ideals, your intentions, you're going into the lion's den big time. God says, pray for the people. Why? Because what they decide to do impacts all of us at some level. So God says, first of all, say first of all, before you pray about your job, that headache you may have, your baby, you pray for kings and all men in authority. And not just for the value, the benefit, it's the order of God. God is the God of order. He says, seek first the kingdom. When he says first, pay attention. He says, bring the first fruit. When he says first, pay attention. God is a God of order. In fact, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. So it's not like, I don't want to pray that way. I mean, you can do what you want. But God said, if you want to be blessed, you want to please me, you want to contribute to the welfare of the country, pray for them first. Why? Because you know how life happens. You have good intentions. It's not first, but I do it third. I get around to it. But what happened? You don't get around to it. But when it's first, it gets handled.
Amen.
And the other stuff gets handled. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. He's talking about their needs. Then he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his agenda, and all these things you need. You know, house note, car note, school money. All that, I would just add to you. Why? Because you put me what?
First.
It's how it works. So I just learned not to fight it. Why fight what God's doing and how he says? His way of doing things. God has a way of doing things. And it's different from how we do things. Say, pray for them first. And then it says this. Verse 13 then. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. I'm fighting the king of Persia. That's the demon. And that's Jesus fighting him. And he needed some help. Say, Jesus needed help. How do you know that was Jesus? You got to read the Bible. Read the early part of that chapter. He described that as a man. Jesus looked like a man. As a man, he looked like an angel. Angels look different than people. And he was bronze skin and fiery eyes. That's how Jesus is described in Scripture. Bronze skin, woolly hair, and fiery eyes. That's how he described. That was Jesus. And he said, I need reinforcements. That's why it took so long, boy. Because Satan wanted that particular nation. By the way, the country of Turkey today is the Bible, New Testament, Ephesus, or Ephesians church that was Christianized, but somehow folks stopped praying for their government leaders. Now in Turkey, if you try to share your faith, it's a Muslim nation, and if you try to share your faith, you go to jail. How did it get there? People stopped what? Praying for their what? Leaders. They're living a good life. You know, America is wonderful. You know, good life. I'm doing fine. It's all about us, though. But if you really understand God's way to get blessed with us, having a blessed life, that peaceful life, pray for your kings and leaders first. These people, I will tell you, most of them have good intentions, if not all of them, when they go to public office. That's how they get elected. But something happens. It's a demonic attack because Satan knows that they have influence. And I want to use that influence to hurt people, to steal, kill, and to destroy. This is why the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. One final passage. Look at the 14th verse. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the what future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So what he wanted to do was understand this particular vision that he had received. But the point I'm bringing out is this. It's a vision that he didn't understand and required the help of God through the Holy Spirit to unpack his vision. He began to intercede and began to pray and see God for clarity of vision. I wonder how many of you need clarity of vision. I suggest to you, spend time interceding.
Amen.
Seeking God. And even interceding on behalf of others as well. He'll begin to unpack things. Say, unpack things. God has a plan and a vision for your life. But through time of intercession, the vision that Daniel needed to understand, it got unpacked. And notice it was demonic to hinder his vision, God. You may have a desire to do various things in your life, but the clarity of it could be limited. You think what you have is it. But you just got your toe in the water. But let God begin to open up more for you. You begin to seek God, and he'll open up more. What's yet to come in the future, that's his plan. And you need to have a sense about that even today. Daniel was not unique. Have an insight into his future, in the future of his people. How much more does God want to do that for you?
Amen.
I believe many of you are here today. You want clarity in your life. That clarity comes from being in Christ. It comes from letting God be in your life. Yeah, we can just see things and get a sense of our direction. You know, God knows what he put in our heart. But he knows what's waiting for you. He knows what's best for you. Amen. Life does not have to be like rolling dice and gambling or guessing. The Holy Spirit will help us.
Amen.
But through our prayer life, spending time with God, getting a habit of, Lord, show me what's going on.
Yeah.
What should I do in my life? It may take a while. It took him 21 days of serious fasting and praying. All I'm saying to you, if you begin to see God, as the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, not casually. Daniel said, you know, I'm not going to eat all of the pleasant food right now. I'm going to eat something, but not pleasant food. No dessert. I love the barbecue. Now I like the fried chicken. I'm not doing that right now. I'm getting before God. And you know what that is? That's personal sacrifice. God, I'm focusing on you. But if you don't know how to do that, this is different for you. That's why you're here today. If you're not a Christian today, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed.